Besicha for Parshas Kisisa is in Chelek Vov in the sixth volume of Lakutei Sichas. In this week's Seder, in Parshas Kisisa, we find the commandment, the instruction given to Moshe among all the other instructions and the details of the construction of the Mishkan. Here we find that God tells Moshe to make a kiyar. The kiyar was a wash basin from which the Kohen, before he went into the Mishkan to do his Avodah, to do the services there, he would wash his hands and feet. The fact that the kiyar and the instruction to make the kiyar is mentioned not together with all the other vessels of the Mishkan, which are enumerated in the two previous sedras, even though the kiyar is also an essential part of the Beis HaMikdash, and concerning the anointing of the vessels, which is described later, here, the kiyar is mentioned along with the other vessels. But when it came to the instruction, the actual commandment, the tzivui, to make the kiyar, it is mentioned separately in this week's seder, set aside, separate from all the other vessels that are mentioned in the two previous sedras. So the commentaries say that the reason the kiyar stands apart, that the kiyar is different, separate from the other vessels, is because the function of the kiyar is only a preparatory one. The washing of the hands and feet is not one of the services in the Mishkan. It is merely a preparation in order for the Kohen to be able to do what is the true service. He first had to wash his hands and feet. So it was a preparation, not yet itself the mitzvah. This distinction, this difference between the kiyar and the other vessels of the Mishkan is visible, is recognizable, not only in where in the Torah it is mentioned, where it appears in Torah, but also where it appears in the Mishkan itself, its physical location. All the vessels of the Mishkan were in the Ohel Moed, in the Mishkan. The Mizbeach, the altar that stood out in the courtyard, was also directly related to the Mishkan itself, because it had to be situated. It had to sit right in front of, opposite, the door, Pesach, Mishkan, Ohel Moed. Whereas the kiyar was removed to a side, not facing the door of the Mishkan, where it was not allowed to be placed. And that's why the Kohen was allowed to approach the kiyar in order to wash his hands and feet, without having to have washed his hands and feet before that, because the place in which the kiyar stood did not require that sanctification. Whereas the space between the Mishkan and the Mizbeach, that space itself was holy, and the Kohen was not allowed to enter that space without first washing his hands and feet. So the kiyar was situated in a place that allowed the Kohen to approach it, having not yet washed his hands and feet. Now this function, this introductory preparatory function of the kiyar, which prepared the Kohen for all the avodas, for all the services of the Mishkan, is reflected also in the volume, the size of the kiyar. Because in the verse, in the Torah, where it says, "Ve'rachatzu mimenu," make a kiyar, and the kiyar, the function of the kiyar will be that Moshe ve'Aaron ubonov, Moshe, Aaron, and his two sons will wash from that kiyar before they do the avodah. So we find four people, Moshe, Aaron, and his two sons. From this, the Gemara derives the commandment, the instruction, that any kiyar that does not contain enough water for four people to wash their hands and feet is not a kosher kiyar, and it can't be used in the Mishkan. So of the volume of a kia is that it has to contain at least enough water for four people. Now, at first glance, the Rebbe says, this seems a bit in need of explanation. Moshe was not a kohen. He served as a kohen only in the first few days when the Mishkan was completed and the Aveda was initiated and introduced for the first time in the Yemei HaMiluyim. Then Moshe functioned as a kohen together with Aaron and his sons, the other kohanim. But after that, after those first few days, Moshe was no longer one of the kohanim. He was a Levi, and he did not do any of the aveda, any of the service in the Mishkan. So the question is, if Moshe was not going to be a permanent part of the Mishkan, a permanent role in the Mishkan, why does the kiyah have to contain enough water for four people when in fact there was going to be only Aaron and his sons using the kiyah after the introductory days of the construction of the Mishkan? So the Rebbe says that the explanation is simple. The days in which Moshe served as a kohen were preparation days, introducing, getting ready the Mishkan for its daily routine service, which would then be conducted permanently by Aaron and his sons. The kiyah, as we said before, is also an introduction. It prepares the kohen for his daily service in the Mishkan. And so, the kiyah has to have enough water for four people because it reflects the preparation stage. And in the preparation stage of the Mishkan, there were four. Moshe was included. Moshe at that time was a kohen and needed to wash his hands and feet from the kiyah. Which is an interesting observation that the Rebbe makes, in that the kiyah is the only vessel in the Beis HaMikdash that reflected the presence of Moshe. The other vessels of the Beis HaMikdash did not involve Moshe in any way, did not reflect Moshe in any way, even though Moshe was the one who built the Mishkan, or had it built. So the kiyah, being that it has to contain enough water to include Moshe, because of those days in which Moshe functioned as a kohen, and this remains forever for all generations to come, part of the instruction, part of the dimension of a kiyah, that it has to include Moshe, and Moshe is on a higher level even than Aaron and his sons. So the kiyah has this unique quality in that it reflects the presence or the influence of Moshe on the Mishkan, where the other vessels do not. So on the one hand, the kiyah is only a preparation to the services of the Mishkan, to the aveda of the Mishkan. And that's why it stands separately. It is not included in its instruction and its commandment. God did not include it among all the other vessels mentioned in previous parshas. And yet, on the other hand, it contains the influence and reveals the influence of Moshe on the Mishkan more than any other vessel. This is also reflected in the materials that were used in making the kiyah. Because we are told that when it came to making the kiyah that was made out of brass or copper, the materials, the brass and the copper, were donated by the Jewish women who brought their mirrors with them from Mitzrayim, and the mirrors were made out of brass or out of copper, and they donated these mirrors, the mares hatzeves, they donated in for the youth to be used in making the kiyah. Now these mirrors also have these two extreme opposite conditions. On the one hand, they are the lowest of all the materials, to such a degree that when they were first offered, they were first donated, Moshe refused to accept them. he had a distaste for them. And that's because they had originally been used by the women in Mitzrayim to make themselves appealing to their husbands, so that their husbands would agree to have children. The men were discouraged under the conditions of Mitzrayim, under the horrors of Mitzrayim. They didn't see the need or the justification of having children under those circumstances. So the women enticed them by making themselves attractive using these mirrors. They enticed the men to have children with them. So the mirror was used to draw the Yetzirah's attention. And because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was an Oyev Yisrael, who loved every Jew and could see no faults in them, even he had a distaste for these mirrors because they were somehow related or associated with Yetzirah. And in fact, the materials that are mentioned in Parsha Pekudei, all the materials used in the construction of the Mishkan, that list does not include the mirrors, the Maris HaTzeves, among the donations. And yet, God tells Moshe that he should accept this donation, he should accept these mirrors, and use them to make the Kiyas. And in fact, Elu Chavivin Olai Min HaKel, God says, this material, these mirrors, they are more precious to me than all the other materials donated to the Mishkan. So the explanation is as follows. We've already spoken many times, the Rebbe says, that the building of the Beis HaMikdash, making a dwelling place, a Mishkan, for God's presence, consisted primarily of Jews taking physical objects that are by nature not godly, and from them creating, fashioning a place, a condition that is holy and worthy of God's presence. So that these 13 or 15 different materials that were used to make the Mishkan, they were all physical objects, and yet v'shachanti b'seichom, God dwelled in them, became comfortable, was present in them. And that is that reflects the larger picture, the larger plan of making the entire world, the lowest of all worlds, a dwelling place for God. And since the desire that God has is for a dwelling place in the lowest world, including also the lowest part of the lowest world, she'ein tachten lamata mimenu, the lowest possible condition, beyond this level, can't even exist. Nothing can be more further from God. So the Mishkan had to include all the mirrors that were used to attract the Yetzirah, Asuyim LiYetzirah, in order that the dwelling place for God should include the lowest of all conditions, even that part of this lowly world that is associated with not only permissible things, but with prohibited things, with the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah generally represents that which is prohibited. Of course, in this case, the mirrors were used not to, God forbid, cause any sinful activity, but still it had to involve the Yetzirah, because for idealistic reasons, the husbands were not interested or committed to having children. So it had to come through the Yetzirah. Yet, Moshe had a distaste for these mirrors. And that's because of the level of Moshe's prophecy. Prophecy means the clarity with which we see godliness. Other prophets were not on the level of Moshe. Their vision, their prophecy, was not as clear as was Moshe's. Moshe, when he gave over a prophecy, used the word Zeh. These are the words of God. This is God's instruction. whereas other prophets would say Koi Amar Hashem, which is not exactly what God said, but Koi Amar is something like this. Whereas Moshe said Zeh, and that means that Moshe saw godliness in its pure form, not as a reflection, not through a hint, not through a vision, but rather directly as through a transparent glass or magnifying glass. And that's why he was uncomfortable with that which was related to the animal soul or to the Yetzer Hara, because the Yetzer Hara does not permit a view of God that is unobstructed and clear, as was the vision of Moshe. So Moshe wanted the dwelling place that was going to be created through the Mishkan, he wanted it to reveal godliness the way he saw godliness, seeing God as through a clear, transparent glass where you see what is on the other side and not only a reflection of it. As is known, that there are two forms of prophecy. There is the aspeklaria hameira, there is the clear glass, looking glass, and then there is the glass that is not clear. And the Rebbe says that means a glass that has a coating on the back, on one side, a film of something on the other side, that turns it into a mirror. Now, a mirror has the advantage in that when you look at the mirror, you can see what is behind you, what came before you. So it's a very high level of godliness, where you can see that which came before you. But what you're seeing is not the thing itself, but rather a reflection of that thing. So you're not looking at it face to face, you're seeing it reflected in the mirror. So on the one hand, you're seeing something you couldn't otherwise see, but on the other hand, you're not seeing the thing itself, you're not looking at it directly, you're looking at its reflection. And the reflection is called koi. This is something like what godliness is all about, because I'm looking at its reflection and I can't say zeh, I can't say this is godliness, I can only say godliness is like this. Whereas by Moshe saw godliness not in a mirror, but in a transparent looking glass, so that he saw the object itself, he saw godliness itself, and he was able to say zeh, this is it. Now when it comes to the Yetzer Hara, even though the Yetzer Hara is being used for godly purposes, it is being refined, it is being drawn into holiness, into godliness, yet by its very nature, the Yetzer Hara, even the animal soul, is not a clear, unobstructed looking glass that allows you to see godliness directly, but instead godliness bounces, is reflected off of the substance, the material, the coarseness of the Yetzer Hara, and it gives us a glimpse into godliness that we wouldn't otherwise have, which is the virtue of elevating and refining the animal soul. But on the other hand, that vision of godliness that we gain by elevating the animal soul is not the level of Moshe, it is not zeh, but koi. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted that the Dira B'Tachtonim, the dwelling place where God would make himself known and visible, should be on the level of Zeh, on the level of his prophecy, that everyone should be able to see the essence of God directly the way he sees it. Now, what is Moshe going to do about the fact that God wants a dwelling place in the lowest part of the lowest world? So the Rebbe says, as far as Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned, on his level, that which reflects godliness, the Yetzer Hara, brought up to a level where it reflects godliness was for him enough of a tachtin. That was low enough to satisfy the desire for a dwelling place in the lower worlds. And yet God said to him, it is not enough. It is not enough. You have to go down an even lower level. You have to go down to the level of the Yetzer Hara. That which is made for the Yetzer Hara, and make even that a dwelling place for God. And not only does the Yetzer Hara have to be included in the Mishkan, in the dwelling place for God, but in fact, Chaviven Olai Min HaKoyu, this is more precious to God than all the others, because in order to elevate the Yetzer Hara, in order to bring the Yetzer Hara into godliness, for this you have to have a complete and total bittul, a total humility in the performance of the Aveda, in the service of God, without any feeling of self, and without any involvement of one's own opinion or feeling, but a pure, clear, transparent devotion to the mitzvah. Only then can the Yetzer Hara be brought to godliness. And that is the level of Tzivos Hashem, the army of God, the soldier who serves with Kabbalas Oil, with total and complete humility, with complete bittul. And so God says, when there is a Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hara is active, and yet the person refuses and does what God wants, to the point where he elevates the Yetzer Hara, that it too submits to godliness, that is more precious than all the other substances, all the other materials that were donated to the Mishkan. And just as these mirrors, which on the one hand were the lowest of all substances, of all materials, and that's why they are not included in Parshas Pekudei, they are not included in the list of materials donated. Yet on the other hand, they are more precious than the others. The same is true also with the Kiyev, which was made from these mirrors. That although on the one hand, the Kiyev was only a preparation for the services of the Mishkan, and because of that, because it was only a preparation, it is not mentioned among the other vessels when God instructed the creation of these vessels. Because at first glance, on the surface, the kiyah is lower than all the other vessels. Not on the same madrega, not on the same level at all with the other vessels. And yet, on the other hand, this preparation of the washing of the hands and the feet, which every Jew does in order to wash away the undesirable, the unholy, in order to be able to enter into the holiness and the Aveda, the service of God, this washing is more precious to God than the mitzvah itself, which will be performed after the washing, either on the altar or inside the Mishkan. And that's because this washing away of the unholiness weakens the unholiness. As I said before, like a soldier that serves God with a complete and total humility. And that was accomplished through the mirrors. And this is also why the kiyah reflects the presence of Moshe. The other vessels do not, but the kiyah reflects the presence of Moshe in the Mishkan. And that is because the level of Moshe, the essence of Moshe, was humility. As the Torah testifies, Moshe was the most humble person in the world. And it is only through this humility, through this bittul, which we get from Moshe, which Moshe instilled in us and made possible for us, it is only through that bittul that we are able to make the world into a dwelling place for God, including also the lowest level of the lowest world, which God wants included in his dwelling place. So how does that happen? Only when we do mitzvahs with the bittul, with the humility, with the transparency of Moshe. And so the kiyas reflect the presence of Moshe, which tells us that in order to be able to start to make a dwelling place out of all of these physical objects, the 13 or 15 materials of which the Mishkan was made of, and the world in general is made of, in order for the world in general, with all its material substances, including the Yetzer Hara, should become a dwelling place for the essence of God, you have to have the Aveda, the service, the mitzvahs performed with a complete, total selflessness and transparency, which we get from Moshe, because Moshe was the essence of Bittul, the essence of humility. The Kayin, in general, and Aaron in particular, also represent Bittul. They also represent this humility of service and humility. And that's why Avidosam B'chashoi, the service of the Kayin, was performed quite silently. The Kayin didn't say anything, he didn't sing. Unlike the Levi, who sang and played on instruments, the Kayin's Aveda was completely silent, which reflects a state of Bittul, a level of humility, which was unique to the Kayin. So all Kayanim really have to have the quality of Bittul in order to do their Aveda in the Mishkan, but the essence of that Bittul comes from Moshe. And so Moshe's presence and influence in the creation of a dwelling place for God in the lowest world is an ongoing, constant thing. It lasts for all generations, even though he was actively involved in the Mishkan only for the first days as a preparation. But this preparation is what makes it possible for all generations, all over the world, to make wherever they are and their portion of the world into a dwelling place for God. As the Baal Shem Tov said, Mach Do Eretz Yisrael, to make wherever we are, the place where we are, and the things that we live with and we use, the physical materials, to make them all dwelling places, vessels for godliness, so that God can be completely, totally revealed in his essence in this physical world. That comes only when we do the mitzvahs in the way that Moshe made possible, with a complete and total transparency, so that we'll be able to say, there, this is godliness, and point to it with our fingers and see it clearly, not only as a reflection but the thing itself. And that's why the Kiyah, which was the introduction to the specific Aveda, the specific service in the Mishkan, represented or reflected the presence of Moshe in the entire larger picture of making the world a dwelling place for God through the bittul and humility in our service.